A bundle of myrrh. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breast. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and verse 13. We must remember that the Song of Solomon is the song of songs. There is none to excel it, none to equal it. It is the greatest song that was ever written. And therefore it is written of Christ and his church, and no other interpretation will suffice. The language is the language of lovers. And therefore these are the words of the church, the elect bride of Christ, and of every individual believer in that church. They are words which express great delight in Christ and strong love and affection for him. And this is how the elect bride of the church speaks of her bridegroom lover, my well-beloved. He is not well-beloved to the world, nor is he to those who have little desire but to live in the low valleys of spiritual life. For them the Savior has but little charm, save to forgive their sins and save their souls from hell. But to the mature believer who climbs the mountain of spiritual elevation, he is well-beloved. It is a heart appreciation of the bride for what her bridegroom lover is in himself, for undertaking her cause, dying in her room instead, espousing her to himself in resurrection life, and giving her love which is unchangeable and everlasting. It is an expression of her love to him, and springs from his love shown toward her. There is nothing which so charms her soul as the love of her bridegroom lover. Compared with that, how low and mean are the joys of earth, which are but husks and empty of any eternal goodness. Now notice first the figure she uses of him. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. This designation expresses something of the greatness of Christ's love to his chosen and elect people, the church, and of the strength of the believer's affection for him, as well as her faith of interest in him. This, he is well beloved only to her, and she expresses in this designation not only the strength of affection she has for him, but the particular application of him to her own soul by faith. By this figurative language, she means, first of all, he is her preciousness. Myrrh in those ancient times was one of the most costly and principal of spices. It was, you remember, used in the anointing oil of Exodus chapter 30 and verse 23, which was a divinely arranged compound for the anointing of prophets, priests, and kings. It was never to come upon the flesh, nor was it ever to be duplicated by man for man. The figure speaks of the Lord Jesus as most precious in his person, his offices, and his graces. As Peter said in his first epistle, chapter 2 and verse 7, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Myrrh is also perfuming. Myrrh is called sweet smelling myrrh. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and verse 5. And the church is said to be perfumed with the merits of our Savior. Worship, praise, prayer, thanksgiving, and intercession, which rise out of the natural heart of man, are as the breathings of corrupt lungs and nothing but a stench to the holiness of God. It is only Christ present in the heart who can perfume such sacrifices of worship and praise, that they rise sweet, smelling, and acceptable, and delightfully fragrant before God. How sweet is Christ then to those who find their joy and fellowship and communion of love with Him. He is so sweet to the heart of believers that they would not be without it, though they were to suffer much for His name's sake. He is the tree of life in the bitter waters of Marah. Exodus 15 and verse 25. Again, He is not only the believer's preciousness and the believer's perfuming, but He is the bride's preservative. Myrrh was used in old times to embalm the dead and so to arrest corruption. Thus the elect bride is saying of her bridegroom lover that it is he who keeps her from the corruptions which are in the world through lust. Without Christ, human life lies in deep corruption which rots the soul. All we are must be sweetened by Christ, or else we will surely sink into a very deep pit. Now notice the place where she holds him. He shall lie all night betwixt my breast. By her breast are meant her heart, where Christ dwells by faith, which is the best room she has, and where she desires him to abide. She will not cast him behind her back, nor will she put him on her shoulder as a burden. She will not have him anywhere but in front of her, where she can behold his blessed face. And she will have him near her heart, where no other is allowed to come. Nothing is more desirable to a great lover of Christ than his near presence and the sight of him before the eyes. It is an expression of the bride's desire that she have a living consciousness of his sensible presence, that he is always before her and always near her heart. She would have him near and close to her all night. He shall lie all night, all night. That is, through this long dark night of man's sinning, until the shadows are past and the day of glory break. Not only the night of affliction or the night of temptation, but the whole of time in this life here on earth, until the everlasting day breaks. She would not have any interruption to this near communion. How important it is to guard his near presence, to be sure he is near, to be sure he is with us, not in dreams and fancies, but in reality and in truth. When some sent messages to David's house, Michael, his wife, took an image and laid it in the bed. We must be careful, my friend. We do not have an image of Christ in our hearts, but rather his living and real presence. This will surely be for our own comfort and refreshment and delight. For nothing charms the same so much as close and intimate fellowship with the well-beloved. Listen to the words of Mr. Albert Midlane. Lord Jesus, thine, no more this heart of mine shall seek its joys apart from thee. The world is crucified to me, and I am thine. Thine, thine alone, my joy, my hope, my crown. Now earthly things may fade and die, they charm my soul no more, for I am thine alone. Thine, ever thine, forever to recline, on love eternal, fixed and sure. Yes, I am thine forevermore. Lord Jesus, thine. Amen. And amen.